Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 26, which can be found on page 21 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. This reading picks up where our first one left off. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Over this past week, I was already overcome with gratitude for the privilege and the opportunity to be the pastor of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And over the weekend, I continued to be filled with that sense of gratitude. And as the weekend progressed, I had a deepening sense of gratitude to be in the journey of life with all of you. Because, of course, when we have moments like the ones in Pittsburgh, when we have moments like the one in our parking lot, when we hear of them and when they happen close and when they happen far even, depending on our connection and our affinity with places, we have a number of immediate connections into Pittsburgh here in the congregation. The things that are important in life become clearer. The things that matter the most rise to the foreground of our hearts and minds, and I hope in many ways they give us a chance to be more grateful for what we have. Because in these moments, there are a sense in which the ways in which our lives become both clearer and more complicated. They become more clear of what we are called to do and be about, but yet at times it becomes more complicated how we might live that out. And so I just wanted to tell you, today, and really I could say this every Sunday, but I realize I repeat myself enough that you don't need to hear the same thing every week, that I am grateful to be the pastor of this congregation. But isn't this a complicated time? Now, in some ways, it is no more complicated than other moments in history. One of the ways in which this feels more complicated is we know a little bit more about what's going on everywhere. And so there's an information problem that we have that we just know about all the things that are all the struggles in the world. But there's also a reality in which there are some ways in which there are challenges and things that we face in our world today that are somewhat new or do come in new forms and are coming around with more regularity, that are coming around with more damage, that are coming around in ways that we never thought possible, or in years gone by we might have thought more as a one-off experience. There are things that keep us up at night that didn't used to keep us up at night. There are things that challenge our faith that didn't used to challenge our faith, and there are things that can encourage us all together that have always been true but seem to be more relevant now than ever. And I think there's a message for us in these days. There's a message for us in all days, but in these days that can help us remember that all is not lost. And that in fact, God is at work in all things. And God is at work through us. God is at work through the people of God. God is at work through each one of us, and God is at work through us collectively. And God is at work helping us to become more and more the people that God has called us to be. And as we become more and more the people God called us to be, we help God's dream for the world become a reality. We help the prayer that we say every week that God's kingdom come, both heaven and on earth, that becomes more and more of a reality. And when we can lean on God to help us do this, when we can lean on God to empower us, we can lean on God to help us see what that dream for the future is actually all about, we can find encouragement in the midst of confusion. We can find ways forward in our own personal lives when it feels like we're just a small part of a larger sea of humanity. And we can find ourselves instructed and encouraged by Jesus. Now, this is an interesting day for us to be reflecting on all that God has given to us as we both pledge to continued work as our church through our giving of our pledges, through the giving of our time and talent, we continue to do so. But it gives us a sense in which God is at work in all things, but God is also at work in us. Now, there's a particular element of this that comes to light in this moment that Jesus shares with this young man that we just heard about and his disciples. This is one of those passages in the Gospel of Matthew that if you've heard it before, it probably gives you a little bit of a squeamish feeling. Anybody ever have a little bit of a squeamish feeling when Jesus starts talking about rich people? Oh, just me. Okay, so let me clarify a little bit about where this goes from and where it goes to in our lives today. It comes from a place where Jesus is speaking to this rich young man. Now, it's interesting, any time that Jesus has interactions such as these and we get descriptors of the person that Jesus is engaging with, we learn something about not just that individual, but of course a larger group of people at that time. And so there's a sense in which when the Gospel of Matthew describes this gentleman as a rich young man, we can take note of all three things. First of which is that this person was indeed a man. This is of note because there are other times where women interact with Jesus, and there's something very important about those interactions that we can learn about the way Jesus valued women and the way women were valued, especially in the early church, that was in high contrast to some of the other ways women were treated in the ancient world. There's also a remark that this man is young, which is something to think about, but young is also in comparison to the person that was talking. Now we know, factually speaking, that there was a person named Jesus who lived on earth. He lived for 30 or so years at the beginning of what we think of as the turn of the millennium. Of course, as we all know, marked later on by his birth. And so Jesus was roughly in his early 30s when this interaction would have taken place, and then it was recorded much later on. We would have known that if this gentleman was young, he must have been younger than Jesus. He also must have been younger than the disciples, because if, think about it, you don't write that descriptor about somebody if it's not referencing a difference in your age to them. So forever, whoever wrote Matthew, whoever recorded the story, whoever told that story, this person was individually seemingly younger. And so there is something about the wisdom that Jesus has to pass on to this individual relative to age. But perhaps the thing, of course, that we notice the most is the description rich. Now, there is a great conversation going on in our world today about what is rich and what is not, who has what they need and what they don't. And there is some parallel to that conversation today to the time of Jesus. But there's also something that is very different in contrast from our world today to that, which is when the term rich was used, it was describing a very, very, very small group of people. Because there was pretty much a very, 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 very small group of rich people, and everybody else was pretty much poor. The exception would have been the military and some artisans. You can't exactly call them a middle class, but to put it in parallel, you might think of it as a very small upper class, a very small middle class, and a very large lower class. Hold that in tension. There are ways to unpack that that can show more of what that looks like, but to give ourselves a parallel, that's a bit of what it was like. And so there's an interesting conversation, isn't there, that is one for us to consider. This young man comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' response, as we heard, was one of first encouraging him to follow the commandments. Now, if you listen to the commandments, you might notice that most of those are the pretty easy ones. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, those kinds of things. Jesus does do the Jesus thing often and tags on that do to your neighbors as you would have for yourself, the harder one to follow. Notice that's not in the top 10, but it is one that Jesus draws a lot of attention to. And he says, "I've done all these things. What else must I do?" And Jesus says, "You must give away all your possessions to the poor. You must sell them and give away to the poor." Now, somebody who launched our rummage sale must have been looking at this passage for inspiration, because this congregation does an excellent job in many ways for giving away their things to the poor. So I want to say that I think that Jesus is giving an encouragement to us to think desperately and carefully about how we care for the poor. But I think for this particular teaching and this particular conversation that Jesus is having, we need to look additionally at what follows. We need to look additionally at the conversation that he has with the disciples. This young man hears what Jesus says and he walks away sad because he has great possessions. Now, it's unclear how much time passes, but it's probably one of those moments where I imagine at least that the disciples are watching this with bated breath, as you would if you were the followers of Jesus at that time. And then you were kind of waiting for Jesus to turn around and tell you the rest of the story. Because the disciples, one of their nicknames was the disciples, because they didn't always get it. And Jesus turns to them and explains to them further. Now, there's been great debate amongst religious scholars and biblical scholars of what Jesus was talking about. And there are times where people have thought that this was a metaphor about this camel in the eye of the needle. And there are times where it is thought to be more of a literal comment and one to be understood exactly as such. And of late, there has been greater consensus on that when we hear that saying, it is easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. We can take that to be of a literal understanding in the metaphorical sense of what Jesus is talking about. But specifically, you can think together, we can imagine, if you had a sewing needle and a camel, there is little way for the camel to get through the eye of a needle. I've sewn three things in my life, and I can assure you I have trouble getting the thread through a needle, let alone a large animal. The other day we saw a camel, once again in real life, and not that I forgot how big they are, but I think they kind of shrink in your mind when you don't see them, and then you see one, and you're like, that's a big animal. So Jesus would have said this to the disciples, and they would have understood he meant, it's actually impossible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. And if it's impossible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, what is Jesus saying about the rich man getting into heaven? Like it says, the disciples were greatly astounded at what Jesus said. And then Jesus clarifies for them and for us. They ask him, then who can be saved? And here's where it happens. Sorry. Mortals cannot save themselves. Only God can save us. And the things that seem impossible for us are possible for God. Because in the end run, it's not about what we do. It's about what God does. It's about God's work in our lives. Whether we have more than we need or don't have enough, whether we understand where God's grace comes from and just how big it is, or whether we're growing into an understanding of that, it's all about what God has done for us. And as a reminder of how big and how magnificent this is, the disciples then and all of us today are needing a reminder that while it might seem impossible for us to accomplish God's work in the world, God has accomplished it. God had done the impossible. God has saved us. God has saved this world and has called us into the ministry of saving it as well. So whenever we find ourselves confronted with moments that are confusing and conflicting, whenever we find ourselves with a new piece of news or information in our lives that just doesn't seem to add up, we can remember that for God all things are possible, and that we are called by the God for whom all things are possible to help God's dream for this world become a reality. So when we find ourselves in days like the ones we've had, and in days like the ones we've had, the will come again, let us remember that God is at work through us. Let us cling desperately to the hope that God has done the work of saving us, and that God has done the work of empowering us to be people that share that good news with other people. That there is nothing that is impossible for God, and that God can do all things. That God can help turn all things is a gift. There are times where I need to be reminded of this. There are times where the message that comes to us from the scriptures is one that seems more timely than ever. For what it's worth, the hymns that we sang today might have felt some extra resonance. They were picked months ago. The scripture and the message that we have from the Gospel of Matthew today was picked out weeks ago. Perhaps we just needed a reminder today that God is at work in the world, that God has not left us, and God has called us, the people of God, to bring about hope, to bring about peace and love, no matter what the world brings to us. So let us remember this now and always. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for being here. We thank you for blessing us with a gathering in your name and for being there with us. God, we are mindful that there are times where this world feels like it's beyond saving. But help us to remember, God, that you have already saved it, that you have already saved us and entrusted this message to share with the world of your grace and your hope. God, help us to remember that all things are possible with you. And help us remember that you are a God who sees all things and knows all things and brings all things to your perfect end one day. God, we ask that you bless our time as we go. Help us to embody this message, the message of your love in all that we do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.